The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you die as an unbeliever, your spirit will live for a very long time as a disembodied ancestor spirit or demon. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist? If you die as a believer without any form of relationship with the Creator, you'll end up in the outer darkness, a cold, black, terrible place, with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, your teeth, the trash heap of heaven. Father has said concerning such believers, why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority, if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life? In stark contrast, if you make a real effort to seek relationship with the Almighty, the rewards in the life to come are huge. A glorious resurrected body, great prestige, great authority, and a permanent close relationship with the Creator and with Yahushua, who you may mistakenly know as Jesus. To put this all in context, the Almighty has said, I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seek such a relationship with me. Today we're going to look at the essence of my message regarding the Bible. Overview of the broadcast. Notwithstanding the fact that of the order of 7 billion copies of the Bible have been distributed in over 350 languages, relative to the matters of the Almighty Creator, the Bible is a very limited book that does not deliver on what is claimed for it. This broadcast will summarize the essence of my message regarding the Bible. We will start by noting that the Bible is a very important history book. I will stress that the Bible is not the Word of God. We will note that there are innumerable translations and versions, and I'll recommend a few. I'll stress that the Bible does contain errors. I'll point out that the New Testament is based on fragments of parchment, and that the Old Testament is also based on fragments. I will note that there was miraculous assistance in compiling the Bible. I will point out that if you believe the Bible is the Word of Yah, He's forced to show up. Finally, we will look at the state of your relationship with the Almighty. By way of introduction, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering and I'm a retired military commander. I now work as a consultant and business manager. I have over 30 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty following a dramatic encounter with Him on the 12th of March 1993 when He spoke to me audibly in a locked room and I knew for certain that He was real. I was confirmed in the Anglican Church at the age of about 13, and I served as an altar boy for a number of years from the age of 19. Eventually, married to an unbeliever, I became disenchanted with the hypocrisy in the church and backslid to a point where I was not even sure the Almighty existed. In this backslidden state, I embarked on an adulterous affair, which when it ended, left me desperate and suicidal. It was then that the Almighty spoke to me, and I realized that my intellect had gotten me into a right mess. And I chose to serve Him faithfully for the rest of my life. In doing this, I applied my deep-seated aversion to failure born out of an accident in early childhood, coupled to my engineering and military training of rigor and preventing failure, to my seeking of knowledge about Father. This journey led to numerous supernatural experiences, prayers answered, and clear communication with the Creator, forms the basis for what I teach in these programs. What is End Time Issue Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email articles, websites, this radio program, physical books, LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, SlideShare, and Twitter. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. See the website www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. That's End Time Issue Ministries, one word. See also www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. That's relationshipwithcreatorradio, one word, .com. Click on the show on the top menu and podcasts on the drop-down for previous broadcasts, or search on Google for, quote, Relationship with Creator Radio, unquote. There are three or four podcast websites where you'll get all the back issues. So tonight's message, 2022-07-03, the essence of my message regarding the Bible. The Bible is the most widely distributed book in all of history, with the estimated volume printed being in excess of 5 billion copies as of 1995, translated into over 349 languages. See the Guinness Book of World Records, best-selling book of nonfiction. There's probably now about 7 billion copies of the Bible around the world in 724 or more different versions and 1,248 different portions. And this is likely to be a significant underestimate. Not everything gets registered. Notwithstanding these statistics, relative to the matters of the mighty Creator, the Bible is a very limited book that does not deliver on what is claimed for it. Following the points which summarize the essence of my message. So, folks, this is so, so important. Yes, the Bible is a useful resource to learn about the way that Father has interacted with people in the past. As a resource for guiding you or me in terms of how we live our lives today, it's pretty limited. There's really nothing much there to draw on. There are some pieces, passages, particularly the epistles in the New Testament, which go into some elements of faith and healing and so forth, but not a lot. If you go into, I once did an in-depth Bible study on proof that Father's will was for more than one woman to join themselves to the same man. And I dipped in all over the Bible and I found literally hundreds of references in the end. They're scattered all over the place. There's no coherent, consistent passage which says, boom, 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 boom. This is what Father says. This is how it works. This is how you do it. Boom. You've got to go and dip in all over the place. And actually what happens is if you either turn to Father, which very few people do, or you turn to the local pastor or whatever to teach you, and then you become submissive to them. So having said that, I want to stress, just so that there's no misunderstanding, the Bible is a very important history book. The Bible is a very important history book about people who had relationship with the Almighty, but nothing more. It traces some of the bloodline of Yeshua and of some of the most highly anointed ones from about 4,500 years ago to about 2,000 years ago. It contains other elements such as Proverbs, Wisdom, Psalms, Songs, etc., and some prophetic foretelling relating to the Almighty Almighty's plans for future events. And that's pretty much it. If you go and visit my website and see all the articles that are there, most of which are written with some level of inspiration, there's a huge amount. There's about 10,000 A4 pages if you print the whole thing out. A huge amount that goes way beyond the Bible. If you go into any religious bookshop, you will find innumerable books that go way beyond the Bible or the Quran or the Torah for that matter. That said, I want to stress the Bible is not the Word of God or whatever you want to call it, the Word of Yah or whatever. Despite widespread belief that the Bible is the Word of God or the Word of Yah or whatever, this is false. The Almighty says that around 2.5% of the book is inspired, The rest is simply the accounts of men and women as recorded, transcribed, translated, and shared over the years. The lack of inspiration is not an issue, as most of the book is reasonably accurate historical accounts. When you stop needing the Bible to be scripture, in other words, dictated by Father, if you stop believing in a canon of scripture, and you just say, this is a really interesting, really useful history book, boom. Maybe read two or three or four translations, and then move on. You can use it as a resource to say, Father, what do I do here? What do I do there? But at the end of the day, Father did not intend you to have a relationship with the book. He wants you to have a relationship with him. And you can't have a relationship with Father when you're worshiping a book. Why are there so many Bibles around? Well, firstly, there's so many Bibles around because people take this as the definitive piece of writing about the Almighty, which it's not. And then people say, this is the source of all wisdom. This is all you need to live your life, et cetera, which is just not true, folks. It can point you to Father. And if you turn to Father for revelation, the book can help you. But you're going to have to dip in here, 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 and there. And you can get a long way. I got a long way. I read the Bible numerous times in the first 8 years that I was walking with Father until one day he said to me, it's not my word. You can stop reading it. There are innumerable translations and versions. I mentioned this earlier. There are innumerable translations and versions of the Bible, particularly in English, reflecting the challenges of translating from Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, as well as various people's opinions as to what the original writers were seeking to communicate. These versions range from useful variants that are helpful to the reader to others that are in such gross error that it is dangerous to read them. Some authors have died prematurely as a judgment for their error. The translations that I recommend are, first of all, the Amplified Bible from Zondervan. It's available on Amazon, a very useful translation that seeks to capture the multifaceted meaning of the original language. I strongly recommend this. It still contains numerous errors in terms of language, for example, God, the Lord, Jesus is God, etc., as opposed to the God meaning the Almighty, the Lord meaning Yah, the eternally self-existing, Jesus being assured, Jesus is a prophet and a man, not the Almighty. But very useful translation. Coming back to all these translations, what we've done is we've built a culture of obsessing about one book. I regularly get messages from people who say, please help us, we need Bibles. Bible's really not a very helpful book. It'll help you get so far, but no further. And it'll probably build a dependency on a pastor who in their turn is dependent on a Bible school. And it's just, folks, not the right thing. Then coming back to Bible versions, the King James Version, which is a very early English translation that is regarded as most accurate by many people as it is free of many of the doctrinal influences of later versions, contains the same errors as the Amplified. The Amplified is derived from the King James Version. And the King James Version is the base for many translations into other languages. It's a little bit old-worldy English, but it's a useful translation. It's worth reading at once. New King James just made a little bit more modern in terms of use of language. Read either of them. Then for the Jewish Old Testament, I recommend The Living Torah by Rabbi Ariah Kaplan, which is available on Amazon. Also the companion volumes, The Living Nacht, The Early Prophets, also on Amazon. And it's an informative rendering of the first books of the Bible and of the early prophets. But like all of these things, it contains translation errors and doctrinal errors. But if you want a Jewish view of the Old Testament, particularly the first five books of the Bible, well worth reading. Some useful commentary as well. Then the Scriptures. from the Institute of Scripture Research in South Africa. It's available on Amazon. It's also available from Kodesh Books in South Africa, kodesh.co.za. Also free electronically from the Institute of Scriptures Research downloads webpage, free scriptures downloads. Just Google, search for Google in Google. In my opinion, this is the most accurate translation, but it's more difficult to read because it retains key Hebrew words. But it's worth reading once you've read the Amplified and the King James. It has the key error of regard to Yeshua as Messiah versus being an anointed one. If I could only retain one of my Bible versions, I think I would retain the scriptures. Not that I've read the scriptures since 2001 when Father said the Bible wasn't his word, but be that as it may. I think the point I'm making is that there is value to be gained from reading the Bible a few times, and that value will be amplified if you read a few different translations. What you will find if you read, I've read 20 translations of the Old Testament, or close to 20 translations of the Old Testament, and probably more than that of the New Testament. What you find is that 80, 90% of it's the same, probably more than 90% is the same. But there are occasional verses and occasional nuances which are completely different. I recommend that if you've not yet read the Bible, that you limit yourself to the above versions and read in the sequence given one time each and move on to other reading. This will be more than sufficient. In reading the Bible, take particular note of the highly anointed ones, and where appropriate, ask Father to anoint you as they were anointed or to give you a relationship with them as they had. Beyond that, there's no point in spending further time in the Bible other than a few passages that contain important principles, most of which have been comprehensively illuminated by anointed Christian teachers over the last two centuries. See particularly the epistles or letters towards the end of the so-called New Testament. Folks, this is when you read the Bible, ask questions. Say, Father, I don't really understand this. I read the Bible repeatedly. I took a decision. I didn't understand the Bible. I'd ask questions. I filled something like 13 or 1400 page A5 reporter's notebooks with my questions and the answers that I received. Sometimes I was taken halfway around the world to get an answer to a question. Father will answer your questions if you ask him respectfully. Then the Bible does contain errors. Contrary to popular belief, the Bible does contain errors. For example, the death of Judas Iscariot is described completely differently in Matthew and Luke. Two conflicting reasons are given for King David numbering Israel, etc. These are glaringly obvious errors. There are websites that pick holes in the accuracy of the Bible, and I choose not to reference them because that is not the point. My point here is simply to say that the belief in certain quarters that the Bible is without error are provably false and therefore should be rejected. My key point here is simply that with any other book, read with your critical faculties engaged and do not take it for granted. Think about it, pray about it, ask for guidance, and if it really does not make sense, park it and do not take it on board. There's a form of intellectual violence that goes with the way some people teach the Bible. The fact of the matter is that the core doctrines of Christianity do not correlate with the Christian Bible. If you read the Christian Bible critically and carefully, you will see that Yeshua, Jesus, is a man and not Yah in the flesh. And there's a whole bunch of other things that Christianity teaches, like a man only marrying one woman and all sorts of other things that just, folks, they just aren't in the Bible. They've invented. And then people are beaten over the head to make them believe rubbish. I had a situation with one thing where I had a debate with a very committed Christian pastor. And he said to me, James, I'll find 15,000 Bible school graduates who will agree with me, and you won't find one that agrees with you. I was a bit taken aback. went before Father, and he said, yes, he's absolutely right, and the 15,000 Bible school graduates will all be wrong. So go to Father for the truth. Don't go to the Bible school. Don't go to the rabbi or the pastor or the priest or the imam or whatever. Go to Father. Take the book, read it, say, Father, I don't understand. And don't get sucked into this thing of Bible worship. I wanted to stress that the New Testament is based on fragments of parchment. It is important to also be aware that the so-called New Testament originated from fragments of parchment from diverse sources. Of more relevance, many years ago, I came across a report that indicated that there were diverse manuscripts on which the so-called New Testament was based, such that differences between versions of source manuscripts to the tune of around 1,250 had been found. I've not found this reference again, and there are indications that this information has been suppressed. The key point is that the New Testament is not nearly as reliable as it is portrayed to be by some. If you want to investigate further, look on Wikipedia, list of New Testament manuscripts, and the associated links. Note that overall, the New Testament texts are remarkably reliable given their history. This is not a problem once you regard the Bible as a collection of historical texts of some value and cease trying to force it to be the Word of God and without error. Then, the Old Testament is also based on fragments. Less clearly known is that the so-called Old Testament is also largely based on fragments, with all the so-called books prior to the exile to Babylon in about 597 BC, being based on fragments. Consider the context of the statement. In about 586 BC, the people of Judah in Israel went into exile in Babylon on foot, taking what they could to survive. The religious texts were recorded on large scrolls that they were unable to take with them. So they took with them fragments, or when they were able to in Babylon, they wrote down passages from memory. If you read these passages attentively, you will see that they are made up of assemblies of fragments. So once more, we find that the Bible is not particularly reliable as a document and should be read with care and with prayer. Note that overall, the texts are remarkably reliable given the history. Again, this is not a problem once you regard the Bible as a collection of historical texts of some value and cease trying to force it to be the Word of God and without error. One of the things that happens when people worship the Bible, when they say it's the Word of God, when they say it's without error, when they say it's the manual for life, is that they stop thinking critically. And in doing that, they open the door for demonic infestation and demonic corruption. We were created to have a deep personal relationship with the Almighty Creator, not to have a deep personal relationship with a book, with a pastor, with a denomination, with a religion, or whatever. Then there was miraculous assistance in compiling the Bible. As a consequence of persecution and people going into exile in the centuries after Yeshua, the available writings were widely distributed so that those who came to assemble the Bible had to go to some lengths to collect and collate as much information as possible. At this time, the satanic and demonic realm was doing all they could to eliminate all knowledge of the matters of the Almighty. So there were instances of divine intervention and favor with regard to assembling the texts. Because of this divine intervention, the idea that the resulting collection of texts was the Word of God found its origin. As noted above, this belief is unfounded and erroneous. Folks, there is so little understanding of the way that Father Yah works. And that is applied pretty much from Adam to today. People who observe the workings of Father do not generally understand what he's doing, how he does it, why he does it. you'll find very, very little explanation in the Bible as to why things happened. For example, Noah was grieved by the level of sin and corruption of his society. He went to Father and said, "What can be done about this?" Father said, "The only way I can see through this is to destroy them." Noah said, "How are you going to do that?" Yah said, "I'm going to send an ice comet, and I'm going to flood the earth, and I'm going to drown a lot of them. And I want you to ask me to do that." So Noah said, "Father Yah, yes, please send an ice comet and submerge the planet and drown the sinners." That's what happened. Doesn't appear anywhere in the Bible. And you can tell me that because it's not in the Bible, it's not true. And I'll tell you that because Yah told me it is true, and you can't prove me wrong and I can't prove me right. It's up to you to go to Father and check it out, and that's the way it should be. Then I want to note that if you believe that the Bible is the word of Yah, he is forced to show up. Beyond this, it is important to understand that if you believe the Bible is the word of God or the word of Yah, and you go to it with the expectation, that expectation, and exercise your faith around it, that the Almighty is obliged to show up in response to your faith. This does not prove that the Bible is the word of God. It simply proves the Almighty honors your faith. This is something that Yah calls the force of faith. A lot of what people claim the Bible says is not what the Bible says, but what Yah has said to people in response to their questions about what the Bible says. This is so important. If you take on that the Bible is the word of Yah, you're going to hear Yah speak and say, "In my word." He actually said, "In the Bible," but your brain interpreted the Bible as "my word." I once met a lady who was deeply committed, and she said, "I go and read my Bible, and there I meet Father." Well, because of her belief that when she went to her Bible, she would meet Father, Father was forced to show up. And the Bible gives little guidance regarding the anointed life or life generally. It is important to recognize that the Bible, that the bulk of the Bible is simply historical account. There are only limited passages that provide guidance on living the anointed life, or for that matter, any guidance on living life generally. To say the Bible is the handbook of life, as some claim, is therefore fallacious. This is not serious once you let go of wrong beliefs. There are numerous other reasonably accurate history books and modern books with guidance on most topics. The art here is to pray appropriately and to ask Father questions constantly, and then listen and take note attentively. The Bible is not going to tell you how to deal with artificial intelligence. You can go and read and listen to a whole lot of so-called authorities who will range from telling you that artificial intelligence is a useful tool to telling you that it's a threat to life on the planet. What's the truth? Well, you can run around trying to find the truth by listening to other people, or you can get on your knees, get close to Father and say, "Father, please help me to understand." And depending on where you are, you may or may not hear him clearly. The objective of life, the reason you're here, is to hear him clearly. So until you're hearing him clearly all the time, you are not operating at your full potential. You're not operating the way he intended you to operate. You're just messing around. You're playing games, and you're going to get before the throne on the day of judgment, and you're going to realize that you wasted most of your life, and that is going to be a devastating shock that you have to live with the rest of eternity. Then the original text reflect impression, opinions, prejudices, judgments, etc. The original texts of the Bible reflect the impressions, opinions, prejudices, judgments, mistaken beliefs, etc. of the writers and those they wrote about. This applies to all writings. So a lot of vengefulness, anger, killing, etc., is more a reflection of the anger and prejudice of the individual human being described or writing the text, and very little a reflection of the true desires of the Almighty Creator. Fundamentally, Yah is loving, and he does not desire violence and ugly behavior. That is the preserve of fallen men and the satanic and demonic realm. Note that very few people really understand the anointing, so virtually all writings about anointed ones miss the point at some level. I've experienced this in my own life. I've experienced much under the anointing with inspiration, and I see how most people, even people close to me, do not understand what I'm saying much of the time. To illustrate my point, we read about Noah and the flood, but there's no record of the private conversation between Noah and the Almighty that led to the flood, as I've just said. There's also no record of the ice comet impact that caused the flood, because no human being survived to tell the tale. The same applies to many other situations. So the Bible, and for that matter, every third-party account of the conduct of highly anointed ones, is at best superficial and at worst totally misses the point. If you have never been filled with the Spirit and inspired and anointed at a significant level, and you meet somebody who has and have a conversation with them, you will not understand a lot of what they say. I've seen this time and time again. People get close to me, they don't understand me because I operate on a different plane to them, and I have to consciously present what I'm saying in a way that they can understand. So moving on, the Creator says the Bible is the greatest idol in the world today. So we see that the Bible is not what is claimed for it. At best, it's a useful history book, nothing more. However, it has been hyped up to be the most important book on the planet, to the point where, as I said before, of the order of 7 billion copies have been printed as of 2023. You may ask how this is so if the book is not what is claimed for it. The brutal truth is that the satanic and demonic have encouraged distribution because it is such a limited and distracting book, and because of the lies that are propagated about it being the Word of God, Scripture, etc. The forces of darkness have very successfully energized human beings to use the Bible for evil. The situation is so serious that Father Yah, the Almighty Creator, now hates the Bible and says that it is the greatest idol in the world today. Bible schools, Bible study, etc., are largely distractions that get in the way of the Almighty's desire for a deep personal relationship with every human being. Most believers and all unbelievers who refer to the Bible have relationships with their Bibles instead of seeking a deep personal relationship with the Creator. And for this reason, he hates it. Folks, here I am telling you in 2023, Father wants a deep personal relationship with you. And out there on the planet are something like 7 billion copies of a book that some people say is the Word of God, that some people spend a year or two or 3 years at Bible school studying, that people go to Bible studies, that people spend hours every day reading it, and so on and so forth. And they don't get close to Father, which is the whole reason we're here. I want to stress that the Creator has not ceased speaking today. In considering all of the above, it is vital to recognize that the Creator has not ceased speaking to human beings today, let alone 2,000 years ago. See the webpage, Yah did not cease speaking 2,000 years ago. There is no canon of Scripture. For this reason, it is manifest error to believe that modern writings by anointed writers are less inspired or less anointed than the Bible. In fact, I know of a case of at least one modern emissary or apostle who's been given major revelation and seriously discounted it because they did not consider their revelation to be as important as the Bible. Gross error. Father is really angry with that particular individual. They've published a number of books, massive visions, massive revelation, and they discounted it as not being Scripture. whatever that means when you're being anointed and inspired. But it's an insult to Father. It's an insult to the people of the world to whom that message was sent. It has done huge damage. I can't stress this enough, folks. Father wants you to have a relationship with Him, and He will inspire you to whatever level He is able to inspire you, to the level that you allow Him to inspire you, the level you do the work to get to. Then take note that the Quran is more anointed and it should be read. It's important to note that the Quran is more anointed than the Bible, and for the most part more accurate. The main difference between the Quran and the Bible is that the Quran condemns the Christians and the Jews for worshipping their books, Bibles, and the Christians for worshipping Isa, Jesus, Yeshua. That said, many Muslims have fallen into the trap of worshipping the Quran and worshipping Muhammad. I strongly recommend that you read the Quran at least once. Again, discount the calls to violence just as you should discount the calls to violence in the Bible. Beyond that, there are a huge number of other books available to read and apply. A few of them are listed on the important information page on the website. Folks, I don't know a lot about Islam, but I do know that on a few occasions, Father has set up divine appointments for me with Muslims who are close to Him, who have a relationship with Him, who are anointed, who are inspired, and who are gentle and don't go around beating people up, etc. Again, there is a world of difference between Father Yah as I know Him and Father Yah as the bulk of religious people think they know Him. Yah is gracious, He's gentle, He's oft forgiving, He's loving, He's kind. He wants you to succeed, He wants you to become His friend. Yes, He gets angry from time to time. If you were treated the way mankind has treated Yah in the last 4,500 years, you'd get pretty pissed off at times, believe me. I've written much more about the Bible. See the webpage, The Bible, and the child pages. The www.endtimeissueministries.org website contains over 1,000 web pages of information on the anointed life and life generally, mostly written at a moderate level of anointing and inspiration. Most of the material up to May 2019 is available in 15 books for download at no charge as PDFs on the Compilation of Most Writings webpage. There are over 2,500 articles in the articles database. Look at the articles link near the top of the menu. I encourage you to take the Bible off any pedestal that you may have placed it on and place it at the same level of reverence and esteem as other anointed books you may have. Please feel free to email me for more information or to discuss this material. I can't stress this enough, folks. I'm here to help you. My passion is to help any person who makes a decision to get close to Father, to get close to Father. Email me, message me. I want to hear from you. Phone me. Main way to contact me is james@endtimeissueministries.org. I'll give that again in a couple of minutes. But really, I want to help you get close to Father. That's my passion. That's the reason I'm alive. That's the only reason that I live, is to help more people to get to know Father as His friend. Not your friend. I want you to become His friend. He shows Himself friendly, so it's relatively easy to get to a place where Father is your friend. The question is, what do you have to do to get to a place where He says of you, you are my friend? And that means that you understand Him, that you pray His will on earth, that you talk to Him daily. In the next broadcast, I'm going to ask you, can you prove that the Bible is the holy word of God? So if you have listened to today's broadcast and you are convinced that the Bible is not the Word of God and is simply a useful history book, you may want to skip the next two broadcasts, but I suggest that you listen. It's a detailed analysis of why it is false to say that the Bible is the Holy Word of God. And this has come about through somebody on my mailing list who thinks that I'm a complete whatever. I would think if you ask him, he'll use some pretty strong negative language. He thinks I'm in gross error. He thinks I'm going to hell because I say that the Bible is not the Holy Word of God. He bases everything on the Holy Word of God. If he can't prove it from the Holy Word of God, then it doesn't exist. And so I set out to write this article for him, basically, and a couple of other people who'd sort of taken me to task on a similar vein, to say, prove that the Bible is the Holy Word of God. And according to all that I've heard over the last few years in terms of the arguments, why it is said that the Bible is the Holy Word of God and complete and without error, this is my rebuttal, this is my response. So I will discuss that in depth next Friday and the following Friday, and I encourage you to come and join me for that those two broadcasts. My desire is that you stop worshiping the Bible if you are indeed guilty of that, and you start focusing on your relationship with Father and just put the Bible down on one side. So we've gone through a whole range of points of discussion, which collectively are intended to position the discussion about the Bible as simply, it's a useful reference book. It's an ancient reference book. It's a useful reference book. And there are other useful reference books. If you go into the average bookshop of whatever your religion is, Christian, Jewish, Muslim, wherever, you will find a spectrum of books from those that are written by people under significant anointing and inspiration to books that are absolute rubbish. Get to a place where Father can tell you which books to buy, which books to read. I've had instances where I was in London on one occasion many years ago, and I was driving in a taxi. And as we drove past a particular large bookshop, Father said to me, there's a book there you need to get. So I went back to that bookshop a day or two later, and Father said, go to the third floor. I went to the third floor. He pointed me to a book shelf, and then I ran my finger along the books, and he said, that's the one. I opened took it off the shelf, opened it, and the page that I opened it at answered a question that I'd asked him. I bought the book. I put a marker in for that page. I quoted that page in an article. I've never opened the book since then. It was not an inspired book. It just happened to be a bit of history that answered something about the way that the church had done things. You can get to a place where you have that sort of experience. That's what he wants with you. So in closing, I want to ask you, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator? I'd like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to the Almighty Creator. Do you talk to him constantly throughout the day and allow him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of him at all times? Do you worship him at every opportunity? Do you count him your friend? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard him call you friend? If not, you're failing in your life purpose and you'll be bitterly disappointed when you die. Folks, step right back. Why are you here? Why am I here? Why are you here? Why is this planet here? Why is the sun here? Why is the solar system here? Why is this universe here? For one reason, the Almighty Creator, who says that he has always existed, was lonely. And he set out to create intelligent, sentient beings who could engage with him in conversation, who could invent things with him, who could do things with him, who could be his friends. That is the only reason you and I exist. And I have to say to you that if you get to the end of your life and you are not a friend of Yah, you will come before the judgment seat, and when it's all revealed to you, you will be bitterly disappointed with how you have fallen short in your life. I ask you to really, really seriously think about that. Summing up on the website, video, Why Seek Relationship, The Miracle of Yeshua's Death, The Creator Desires a Deep Personal Relationship with You, Seven Components in Drawing Close to the Creator, Recommended Worship. The Creator's name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing. The Essence of My Message to Christians, similar articles for Jews, Muslims, other faiths, and unbelievers, all available at www.endtimeissueministries.org. Transcripts of nearly all teachings in the series are available on the website at the bottom of the radio page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page, and they're all available at relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show and then podcasts, or search on Google for Relationship with Creator Radio. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 till May 2019 are available near the bottom of the menu at the compilation of most writings page. I publish regular email articles. Email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list. To seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback, that's james@endtimeissueministries.org. Visit the website and use the Google search, the article keyword cloud, the table of contents, and the article search to locate the information you're looking for. Those are all along the top of the menu on the website. The Google search is particularly powerful. There are about 2,500 articles in the articles database, over 1,000 web pages, answers to a large number of questions that you may ask. Pretty much what happens, somebody asks me a question. If I think it's more widely relevant, I write an article like this one that I've just alluded to that I'm going to broadcast next week. Can you prove that the Bible is the Word of God? In response to something that some people have said to me. In closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions to james@endtimeissueministries.org. Please email me to join the mailing list also at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know, and I can connect with you by Skype, Zoom, email, or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week when I will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make his enemies his footstool. Folks, Father wants you to become his friend. It does not matter if you're male or female. It does not matter if you're rich or poor. It doesn't matter if you're educated or uneducated. It doesn't matter if you're tall or short, thin or fat. It doesn't matter if you've got blonde hair and blue eyes, or brown hair and or black hair and brown eyes, or anything in between. It doesn't matter if you're African, Asian, Caucasian, European, whatever. It doesn't matter if you're Christian or Jewish or Muslim or Buddhist or Baha'i or Yogi or Hindu or Satanist or witch doctor or whatever. He wants you to become his friend. That's why you're here. Put aside all the baggage from the past. Start a clean slate today and say, Father Yah, in the name of Yeshua, James Robertson says I can become your friend. I aspire to become your friend. Please help me to become your friend. Show me what to read. Show me what to listen to. Show me what not to read, what not to listen to. Show me who to speak to. Send people across my path. Help me to become your friend. There's an article on the website that will help you. Thanks so much. Good night.
Father, I come to you, lifting up my hands. Christ I stand.